you try. There's just some ways that singles connect. Okay. What are some other ways? One ads. Mail order brides. Arranged dinners. Fifth wheel. What were some of the ones I named last night? Speed dating. Minute speed dating. There was a cute story of this guy who's a friend of mine. His name was, I thought his name was Reggie. And I kept calling him Reggie. It's all I knew is his name was Reggie. And so he said, Chris, my name is not Reggie, it's Reggie. I'm like, Reggie what? He says, Reggie. I go, well, you've been telling, I always thought your name was Reggie. He said, well, what happened, Chris? He says, I went to one of these speed dating things. And he goes, you have 3 minutes to tell everything about yourself. He says, it took me 2 minutes to explain my name. So it left me 1 minute. So I decided to be called Reggie, and then I could have more time to talk to the women. Arranged dinners, I already said that. Friends set you up, dating companies. Who wants to marry my dad? Oh, Lord. We're going to show a clip that, and I hope you guys got to know each other a little bit better and learn some things about each other and the pros and the cons of the different ways that we connect. And so today, what you know, my goal is not to bash the ways we connect. My goal is to bash their motives behind it. And so many singles are so full of it. They think that I'm stupid or I just fell off the turnip truck and that I don't know what their motives are. They'll tell me what their motives are, but I really know because their actions speak louder than their comments, right? So the movie, of course, is tied into this. Want to Get Hitched, Not to a U-Haul. And I'm going to just show you the first clip, and then at the very end, we're going to watch the last clip. Who has not seen Hitch? Okay. It is definitely a secular movie. Hitch himself is kind of like a matchmaker, so to speak. And he's not his character and what he does is not a bad thing. He helps guys work on everything to help them meet girls. And most of these men have a particular crush on one woman that they like, and that woman has just not given them favor. And so, and maybe it's because they dress funny or they don't know how to talk. They're like, hey, how you doing? You know, he teaches them to, you know, to have confidence, and maybe they need to lose a little weight, and maybe that's a problem, or, you know, maybe they got bad breath, or they can't dance, or whatever it is that they might, and give them some confidence to be able to talk to this woman that they like. So what he does is a job I like. Thank God for friends that maybe kind of help us. I mean, because some women be dressing like hoochie mamas, and they're like, I don't know why, they just keep looking at my breasts. I'm like, because they're hanging out there? You know, maybe that's the reason. I keep getting the wrong guys. I'm like, uh-huh, I wonder why, you know. And so the same thing, so I'm glad that we have friends that maybe can kind of help us, and, you know, and I'm hoping that we're willing also to be teachable. So that if that is a desire of your heart is to meet someone and fall in love and it hasn't happened, that maybe we can start asking some of those around us, do you see anything in me that maybe I need to work on? Maybe I have an attitude problem. Maybe I'm bringing baggage along with me everywhere I go. You know? And I don't even realize the things that I'm saying to people. I don't realize the way I'm dressing. So I like Hitch in that respect, but it's a secular movie. And then, of course, he doesn't care what happens when they do get together, and then that bothers me. But it's a secular movie, and I like using secular movies because what's great, if they're fairly clean, is that it's a great teaching tool because the world has seen this movie. And it's a great gateway as single adults to reach our lost friends and to talk about it, and it starts a conversation. So let's watch. Maybe if Emily could get the lights for me, and we shall play.
Say, this is a really bad time for me. or something like, I just need some space. Or my personal favorite, I'm really into my career right now. You believe that? That'd be a bit of shame. You know why? Because she's lying to you. That's why. You understand me? Lying. It's not a bad time for her. She doesn't need any space. And she may be into her career, but what she's really saying is, get away from me now. Or possibly, try harder, stupid. Which one is it? 60% of all human communication is not verbal, body language. 30% is your tone. So that means that 90% of what you're saying ain't coming out of your mouth. Even a beautiful woman doesn't know what she wants until she sees it. And that's where I come in. My job is to open her eyes.
It's like a woman doesn't ever know what she wants until it's right in front of her. I don't know. But I thought that was cute. I love his creative ways in order to help people. And maybe as friends, we can start kind of helping us too. I don't know. Maybe start here and asking the Lord to kind of make us a little more teachable on what he has planned for us. Well, I had been doing some research, and this will kind of be on your list there. And I was doing some research online when I was preparing this talk about a year and a half ago, and trying to, you know, find out, you know, what are the most hit sites for singles and this kind of stuff, just doing a little bit of investigating. And I was on a website in Germany. Not because I speak German, I don't. But there's a Walmart in Germany that on Friday night, if you get a buggy, you put a big red bow on it. And you go around the store, you can find somebody else with a big red bow on their buggy. And I was thinking to myself, because they're saying, you know, we're already there on Friday nights. A lot of singles are. And if you know small towns, that's where everybody goes, right? And if they're already here, why not take advantage of it? Because you know they want to meet. So, you know, their tagline says, they like things cheap, come to get a date at Walmart. And I'm like, I don't really know if I want that kind of date. So I thought to myself, well, you know, what would you, you know, look for when you're, you know, you're out there shopping? I was just trying to figure this out. So I got me and my buggy, and I just said, I'm going to do some investigating on my own, right? I'm just like, okay, I'm walking. I'm walking around, and, you know, got my bow, and I'm make sure everybody sees it just in case, you know, and I see a cute guy, and I come up, maybe he sees it, you know, let him know I'm interested in him, you know, because I am here at Walmart, and I noticed, hey, you know, it's like, what, you know, what do you say to somebody at Walmart with a big bow on your buggy? And I'm just trying to figure out, I go, hey, I see you like to squeeze the Charmin. You want something else to squeeze? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you say? I mean, it's getting a little crazy, right? And you're like, hi. It's like peacock feathers. Hi, how you doing? I see you got grits and Spam in your basket. I like Amanda Cook's gourmet. Crazy, isn't it? And it's just like weird. You're like, all right, here's another one. Hold on, I'm coming, honey. I'm like, hey.
Hey,
good. Now, you talk back. They didn't even talk back. shape. Hey. Or this is one of my favorites. It's just like, you know, you're in the aisle, the line, and you're ready to check out and see another cute guy. You're like, hey, how you doing? I see you like to clip coupons. Like things that are cheap. But you're like, yeah, what'd you say? Huh?
Oh, I just said, whoa.
Well, the point of that is, like, what would you say? Doesn't this sound crazy? I mean, like, is that where things have gone, that you have to be in Walmart on a Friday night, they said from 6 to 8, and they're trying to bring it to America and get it in the stores in America? And again, I'm not so much fussed about the ways you connect, but I'm just trying to figure out what you say to somebody. Well, they said, well, if you don't like walking up to strangers and talking to them, you can post an email, and it comes up on a big board that you can kind of, you know, and just say, maybe I was like, hey, that guy Robert, well, I'd like to connect with him, you know, so I'm going to write a little message. You with the blue shirt and I think they're white or khaki pants, I can't tell from here, the glasses, you know, you like to say hello back. You know, maybe we can get together. So I just thought, what are some of the ideas of things that you would write? You know, maybe like, hey, you with the bare feet want to hook up? I'll be in aisle 3 with some shoes. It is Walmart. You know, hey, you with the 5 o'clock shadow? I'll be in aisle 22 with some shaving cream. You know, I'm trying to figure out, what are we going to say to reach them? So this will be my luck, right? So maybe I've put a message up for John. I hope he sees it. There he is. Maybe he's seen it. He knows I'm trying to connect with him. So I'll just get a little closer. And let's say he's in the pharmacy. He's looking, talking to the pharmacist, you know. Got a little problem. You know. And I just get a little closer. Because, you know, we all got to go to the pharmacist every now and then, right? And I'm just looking. You know, I'm going to look at his buggy because that tells a lot about a person, you know. I'm like, case of enemas, some moist wipes and some Maalox. I'm like, dog, man. And then I hear him go, yeah, I got this itch, and I can't get rid of it. Can I show you? I'm going, ah! Oh my gosh. I'm like, Lord, I mean, this is just it. How do you know? How do you know whether it could be anything they want to be? Okay, you saw them. But you know, you don't know who they really are. You're looking in their buggy. Now, of course, if it was me and I'm in Walmart shopping for a man, I'm going to have some good things in my bag. I'm going to have some exercise videos and some water and some plants and some motivational books, and because I want them to think that I'm really healthy, well, sort of, and that I exercise. And, of course, my Bible. I want them to know I love the Lord, you know. But you know that's not really what's going to be in my buggy at Walmart. What's going to be in your buggy? Big old box of chocolates, a big old box of maxi pads, and a bin of videos, and, you know, I mean, reality is, you're going to have in there what you need. But would you put in there what you really are, or would you put in there what you want someone else to think you are? So Walmart is no different than the rest of the world. Are you really being who you are, or are you who they think you are? Because I think some of you maybe don't like yourselves that much, or you don't think somebody else would like you. So you'll begin to be somebody else and hoping that'll get them. And then you can really be yourself to keep them. And it doesn't always work. So, did a little more research online and checking out some other things. And I thought it was interesting. I typed in what are the different kinds of dating services are there. There's eHarmony. There's a deaf one, military, pets, Jewish, science. Any foreign country has a dating service. Gay, African-American, Latin, lonely, blonde, Baptist, Asian, college, geek. You can get on a geek dating site. I guess geeks want to date too. Then I Googled some words and you have them listed here. I actually have them, put them in your outline because I'm so blown away. Every time I go back, every 6 months, I type these words in again to see how the number goes up. And every single time, the number continues to increase. So I typed in the word match, how singles connect, 3,810,000. The word matchmaking, 7 million. The word dating services, 75 million. Christian dating services, 4 million. Mail order brides, 2 million. Mail order grooms, 1 million. Sorry. Isn't that typical? Online dates, 134 million. Finding a date, 659,000. So I guess getting a date's one thing, but you can sure get a lot of information on how to find one. And then the word date. Is that 2 billion?
Yep.
That's scary, guys. That's scary. Look at the desperation of what we're trying to do. We're trying to find that person in any way that we can. Well, I was watching this TV show that was on about a year and a half ago called Hooking Up. And it was probably literally what they were trying to do. And it was on New York. And they followed 12 women around who were dating online just to see what they were doing and just to kind of monitor their progress. And I watched a show and a half because that's all I pretty much needed. The show was canceled after about 4 episodes because the women were depressing. And they weren't showing anything good. Now, again, I've got friends who met online, got, you know, 50 babies now, and they're doing great. There are ways to do it that can be successful. But these particular women, New York is like the most singles population anywhere in the country is in New York. You'd think they wouldn't have a problem finding people to date, right? So here were some of the comments that the women said. Winning the lottery would be easier than finding the right guy. You can't trust anyone. These guys never put their real photos. I won't settle, but she's the one in a relationship. But she was the one in a relationship, having sex within 2 dates. They always look at my chest, but she kept wearing a low shirt. Women have all the control. I hate being single. I get so depressed. Every night I try and have a date. It's easier to get struck by lightning than it is to find lasting love. And then finally, I'm so afraid of being single forever. Well, I began to look a pattern with these ladies. God was not in the formula. They never brought up God. They never brought up that they were praying. I don't know if they randomly found these women or was it purposeful that they didn't have a Savior. They didn't have anyone they believed in. It was all about them. And there was a desperation to find the right one. But for what? Because I don't know if you've seen, you know, more and more people are not getting married. They're just living together. So what are our motives behind connecting? So that's what we're going to talk about. What are our motives? Now understand, I'm not against all these ways that we date. I had to kind of die to that. At first, I used to be really anti because I kept seeing the people being hurt by online dating. But now it's not so much that it's the way we connect, it's our motives behind it, because that's what seems to hurt, our expectations. You know, we just think it's going to be perfect and wonderful, we're going to live in a fairyland somewhere. Or the guy that we meet, or the girl we meet, it starts off wonderful, we have so much in common, we're really communicating, and then it just fizzles when you see them in person. They're not the person they said they were. Their picture doesn't match. You know, or what they do for a living, you know, because a lot of us make more out of that. We assume that what they do for a living really reflects them, and it doesn't always. I have a friend of mine, his name is Elmer, and I love Elmer. Elmer Schwartzer, and that unusual name. And Elmer is about as unusual looking as his name. And Elmer has an incredible heart for God. And Elmer, every time I talk to Elmer, he has a different job. And I'm like, Elmer, you know, you're going to get you a girl. You might want to hold on to one of them jobs a little longer. He says, well, you know why I keep getting let go or fired? And I go, oh, that's even worse, buddy. You know, women got to have a little nest egg, something. He says, well, I keep getting let go because I keep talking about God. He says, I just can't help myself. I go, and I'm really, really there to do the job, and it just comes out of me. And then after a while, they tell me, they give me warnings, and then eventually they just say, you know, Elmer, you got to go. So then I just go to the next place, and I do the same thing. And I said, you know what? I'd love to have a husband who got fired because of the name of Jesus. Do you see what I mean? Our expectations of what we put into people, what we think. So that's where my heart is that, you know, I want people to do it the right way. I want their motives to be right, and I want them to do God's way so they have success. So, letter A is microwave society. We're in a microwave society. We want it now, right? We go from click, click, to ring, ring, to ding, dong, to fling, fling. Sometimes in a month, a week, or even a day. Proverbs 16:32, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Letter B is that we want to be in the middle of the relationship right now. Do you know the middle part? Don't you love the middle part? You know, the part where you lay on the couch together, you know. Maybe he, you know, hadn't shaved in a day or two. You don't care. You ain't got no makeup on. He don't care. You know. He could have sworn you'd seen that shirt he wore yesterday, but, you know, and it's like turned inside out now, you know. Because he's like, oh, he's dirty. He's turning inside out, you know. You know, and you're laying on the couch and you're watching some TV show and you don't even care what's on because you're so comfortable around each other. It's the middle part of the relationship. It's a safe place. You're not getting married, but you're not alone either. That's what everybody wants. They don't know if they want to marry everybody, but they want to be in that middle place. But the problem is they want to be there within a day or two. Have you ever met anybody that you feel like you could instantly be in a dating relationship with them? Like you just gel, you just have like a connection. You just find yourself falling into the middle of a relationship. So by the week ends, you're already really, really close and hanging out and talking about Christmas and it's July. That always scares me. When people talk about something that 6 months down the road, you've dated them for a month. Or they're meeting the parents right away because you're going a little bit too fast. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The only reason I can tell you all this is because I have lots of experience in it. Letter C is friendships and relationships take time. We tell ourselves that we want to build a friendship. We want to go slow, but deep down inside, we want it now without the work. That's what I find with singles. They all tell me they want it, but they don't want to do what it takes to get it. Tony Evans made a comment. I love Tony Evans. I don't know if y'all know, all of you know who he is, but he talked about how he found his wife in South Africa and how he said, you know, my wife, God had my wife way over there. And he just talked about the process and how he met her and everything. And so I began to think, I'm going, okay, let's pretend like, you know, you're God, okay? And you know everything, right? Okay, you're the man, right? Okay. And if you know everything, then you probably know where my man is, right? So if you know where my man is, you probably know all about him, right? You probably know how tall he is, and, you know, and his background, his spiritual walk, and you know, you're preparing him and working on him and, you know, hanging out with him. You know everything about him, right? Well, I'm going to become your buddy, right? I'm going to become close to you because that's where you know where my man is. A lot of times we'll spend time in the world or with our friends thinking they're going to get us to the man or to the girl in which they don't even know who they are. But like if God knows everything, then why aren't I spending more time with God? I mean, if he knows this guy is out there, if it is one, but here's the cool thing. If you spend more time with God, you'll get to a place like me. You won't carry the war. I really don't care. 7 years ago, I made a decision that I said, whatever. I'm tired of doing it on my own. My ways don't work. I'm tired of it. Okay, fine. You can have my dating life. Because I am terrible at this. I keep picking the wrong guys. Even the overly religious ones. I think they're okay and they're wrong too. So I give up. I am happy either or. My goal is going to be to spend time with you. And the cool thing about it is the closer I get to you, the more I have direction, the more I have peace. It's amazing. You will get to a place to where you won't carry the door. Now, does that mean you ain't got hormones? Oh no, thank you, Jesus. I got hormones. And I'm thankful for my hormones. I am thankful that I feel and desire the opposite sex. I love it when I'm around someone and I don't know them really well and there's a little connection. It's just kind of funny, like, oh, it's all still there. You know? But what's neat is it doesn't come that often. Why? Because my mind and my heart's in the right place. Whereas when I was younger, everything looked good. Everything I was having little feelings for. You know? Because it was the flesh. But when you are so in tune with God and you find a connection, it's the Holy Spirit. Then it's what do you do with it? Do you jump on it like you used to do in the old ways? Hey, here's my phone. You know. Or do you let the Spirit work it out? I like guys to chase. If I meet a guy and there's a connection, hey, if he's interested in me, he'll call me. He'll find me. Don't worry. They will. Guys are good at chasing. It is amazing how they will find out things about you you didn't even know if they're interested. But I don't want to chase them. I don't want to be that to me is just not biblical. Now, do I let them know I'm around? Do I let them know, hey, it's nice to talk to you, give good eye contact? Sure, because they're little. Sometimes guys don't see, but right here. So you got to open it up a little broader for them. But after that point, I want a guy. So as I've grown in the Lord, I begin to see that as I take it away from me and it's not in me, that it's all God. Now I'm 43 years old. Pretty much, I can guarantee I may still get married, but I doubt very much I'm going to be having no babies. But I was never called to have babies. God never put that in my heart. And I'm grateful because I have so many friends that cry and out to the Lord because they wanted children. And I'm like, if you want kids, be a foster mother. Go borrow somebody else's kids. You know, I don't understand that. If you want kids so bad, so you're saying it's really not about the kids, it's about you having the kids. So really, it's not about the children reaching children for God. It's not about the children that are out there that have no parents, that need you as a parent. It's about you having your own. So then we're back to motives again. So if you really want that back, go and be somebody else's mom. Be somebody's aunt. Be somebody's friend. Be a big sister, big brother program if you want children. Maybe God, that's God's plan for you, is to be a mama to somebody else's kid, not to your own. Because in heaven, we're all single together. Ain't going to be no mama babies. Ain't going to be no husband's wives. So the relationships we build today are for the relationships in heaven. So then it shouldn't matter who you talk to, because it's all about Him. Oh. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord and to do and to us for whatever directions God might give them. Years ago, when I was in my 20s, I met a guy. I was 23 years old. On graduation day, I read scripture out of the Bible, and within 3 weeks, I was living with a guy. My whole family was like, "We didn't raise you that way." And didn't know the guy. Met him. We're out working at a flea market. I was selling socks. That's a good business of socks. And I just graduated from college, and I met this guy, and he was beautiful, and he just, you know, just, he said all the right things, and I was living with him, and for 2 years of my life, I did not follow the Lord. Fast forward, 12 years later, oh, I got engaged, all that junk too, you know. 12 years later, I'm now Christian, strong in the Lord, teaching the Word, doing Bible studies, and doing event planning, and I'm strong in the Lord. And I had not had a boyfriend in a while, because I was saving myself, you know, re-virgin, you know, they can become a virgin again, so I'd become a virgin again, and, you know, and I was committed for the Lord, and I went to a dance, a Christian dance, a Baptist, and I met this guy, David. He was real cute. We're sitting at the table, same table together, and I had that feeling. So his knee was rubbing up against mine, I was rubbing up against his, and get that, like, you know, like, oh my God, it's killing me. Get all the butterflies, and you know it's been a long time since you've had a boyfriend when knee rubbing gets you excited, right? which is kind of a cool thing, you know, because it used to take a whole lot more to get me excited. So I'm like flirting, and you know, and later I would find out, he says, "I was rubbing knees with you." He says, "Baby, I got a cast on my knee. I didn't feel nothing." Thanks a lot, David. I was like, you know, whatever. So that was like, it was a prophecy of the relationship. So David tells me, "I'm in seminary." You're in seminary? You had to be a pastor. Oh my God. God said, "Well, you're not looking. It can happen." God didn't say that. Man says that. Oh God. This is the one. He goes, "And yes, I just have a heart for singles." Oh, God did too, you know. So then we went and we hung out the whole night. We would dance, and he could dance like, "Oh yeah, you know." So then he went and we prayed together. Y'all know prayer, bad thing with somebody you don't know, someone you do know, or intimacy. It's a very intimate. So we pray. I mean, known him 4 hours, and we're praying alone in this room. Like, oh my God, he can pray, and he can lead and pray. I'm like, you know, I had this big checklist of what I want, because you know, I already had that, and I already knew what that looked like, so I need to get me a spiritual man. And red flags are flying all over the place. Like, he's like, "I ain't got a car, baby." I'm like, "Oh, it's okay, I got mine." He said, "Yeah, I sold everything for the Lord, and so I could go to seminary without distractions." I'm like, oh my God, it's just like, this is just incredible. So anyway, later that night, you know, got a ride back to seminary, and it was 40 minutes away. So we got on the phone, we talked all night long, and I'm like, I don't believe this. Just like when you're not looking, and I kept myself pure, and I'd waited, there he is, this man of God, and he loved the Lord, liked to evangelize, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's louder and stronger than me, which is hard to find, you know, and because, you know, I want to be submissive to my husband, so he's got to be stronger than me, so I'm, you know, phew, whatever. So I was just like, yeah, man. So we're on the phone talking, so then I go get him the next morning. And we're out walking, and within 2 seconds, I'm holding his hand. Knowing him now, you know, I don't have many hours. So then we get in the car to drive into the big city of Raleigh. And there's this woman. He's like, "Hello, chick. I got my chick loose, Chris." So we're riding, and all of a sudden, there's this woman and a guy on the side of the road. This New Year's Eve night, the next day. And he's beating this girl. He goes, "Stop the car." Like, "What? I shall rescue her." Oh, my God. He rescues women. So I'm like he gets out there, pulls the guy out. He's like, "Poo, poo, poo." I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." You know, I'm like, "Oh my God, everything on my checklist. This is just amazing." theater, we go see a movie. See Patch Adams. And he cried. Oh my God! Oh, he cries too! Ah, yeah. Ah. I mean, what is wrong with me? I'm like, just it like sucked me right in. He was everything I'd ever wanted. And things more. We went to a convenience store. He led the guy out of Christ right there at the convenience store. And he would proceed in the next the months we were together. He would lead anybody to Christ anywhere we go. He gave me courage to do things I would never do. And I was just in awe of this man of God. Well, that morning we went to get some breakfast and we were sitting close to each other. And we weren't doing nothing, you know, proper. But we were close. Real close sitting. And this woman walks up. She goes, y'all are the cutest couple. How long y'all been together? It looks like forever. We're like, 11 hours and 12 minutes. So why did she think we were together forever? Because our body language said we were. But yet we hadn't been. Well, there were red flags in our relationship all over the place. We got engaged 6 weeks later, Valentine's. And I've been planning well, got my notebook. Now, finally, I'm going to be a bride. I determined, you know, I'm going to have me a single shower and get all that stuff back. You know, all the weddings over the years. So I'm like, you know, got my thing and doing all the junk all the other women do and whatever. And David goes missing. And we couldn't find him. And eventually he shows up the next day and he gives me this elaborate story. And he says, you know, Chris, I told you my past is I was a drug addict and the Lord saved me and cleansed me and cleaned me. I'm like, yeah, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. You know, he's got his sin. I got my sin. You know, I ain't going to judge him for his sin, my son. You know, it's cool. He says, well, I was in Chapel Hill and I was, you know, working the game because he had a little side job. And he said, and these guys knew me from my past and they jumped me and they took my clothes and they made me go to the ATM and take all my money out. And it was a horrible situation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm just like, I can't believe this. 2 weeks later, he goes missing again. And we can't find him now. Police have to get involved. I had to go up to the campus, get involved with the college police there. Had to get into his room. And his room was, everything had been staying the same way. So we knew he hadn't gotten home. Now they're telling me to find his dental records because, oh, by the way, I bought him a truck in the middle of all this too. Just to let you know. So they thought that my truck had been burnt up in a fire. They wanted the VIN numbers so they could match the truck and then match the dental records. So at this point in time, I'm thinking my fiancé is dead. So about 3 in the morning, I get a phone call and he had been arrested. For aiding and abetting a DUI and for drug paraphernalia. And David had been hiding a secret. He was addicted to crack cocaine. And he lied to everybody. Everybody. His pastor, seminary. Southeastern didn't even have it in the rule book of how to deal with someone who had had this problem. And so I tell you this, of course, everything, you know, I died inside. I never knew pain like this. And how wasn't so much about what I lost, but how was I going to go and tell all these people that I had said, this is a godly man. This is the man you need to wait for. Look at him. He does everything a godly man should do. And then I had to go around and tell them, well, he is godly as a thought. He'd been lying and all the money was gone because he had used it for drugs. So the point I tell you this story is that you can have the most strongest Christian guy in the world that you've met online or in a speed dating or even at a church or the strongest woman. She can tell you all kinds of stuff. She can be in Bible study. She can lead people to Christ on the street. She can be a missionary and still not really be who they say they are. If I'd taken the time to be David's friend, would it have turned out the same way? I'd like to think that I would have picked up on some patterns. The fact that he was missing a lot and nobody knew where he was. He wouldn't tell people. The fact that he never had any money. The fact that he was really, really hyper like this all the time and I thought it was just excitement for Jesus. And he was on drugs. Then maybe as a friend, I could have helped him in Christ way before I ever dated him. And then if I dated him, it's because he got his life together. And maybe he'd still be in my life now. But he's not. So the point of all this is that you can have from the worst to the other end. It doesn't matter if you don't take time to build a friendship. Now, are all friendships perfect and wonderful? You've known a guy forever and he still rips your heart out. Some of you have heard stories where you've told me, oh, Chris, I was married to my best friend. And he still cheated on me. He still did these things on me, sure. But I'd rather take my chance and date my best friend than date someone I've known for 10 minutes. Because of the flesh. Remember, people cannot be our security, our hope, our purpose, or our goal. God has to be as a result of a relationship with Him. Only God provides real hope, security, purpose, and a relationship that never fails. Ephesians 1:18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. So where has God called you in your life? Has He called you to singleness? Has He called you to marriage? Has He called you to wait a little bit longer? Has He called you to take some time to investigate? Has He called you to examine your own life? Maybe you can't see yourself. Maybe you don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you need the help of your friends to tell you some things. Maybe you need to spend more time in the Word. I don't know. But I'm just telling you guys, I don't worry about finding the one anymore. I don't. And it's not like I'm just saying, it's not that God doesn't have that desire in my heart. I think it'd be cool to have a ministry together to do and serve the Lord and be out teaching. I think it'd be great. But I've just done it my way. And it ain't worked. I'm tired of doing it my way. So finally now, in the last 8 years, I'm like, oh honey. I'm the friendship girl. I met a guy here last summer. He pursued me a little bit. On the second date, because, you know, you can date without it being romantic. You know, you can go out and have dinner with a guy. You know, you ain't got to be, like, touching him and stuff. But you can have dinner. I said, by the way, I'm the friendship girl. He goes, what? I'm the friendship girl. He's like, what is that? I go, I'm going to get to know you first. He goes, okay. I said, so I'll never be kissing you and I'll never be holding your hand. And I don't know then if I want to go out with you anymore. I go, okay, so yeah. I said, you know, I just don't know you. And I said, I just want to let you know right up front. I just want to communicate right up front that I need to get to know you. I've met you at this conference. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. You know, you're here. You're awful spiritual. That's great. But I need to see the walk match and the talk. I want to see who your friends are and hang out with them. I want to see where you go to church. I want to see you walk in what you keep preaching and teaching. I want to fall in love with who you are as a person. I want to see Christ in you first. Because I want to fall in love with you from the inside out, not the outside in. Because I've already done all that on the outside in. So I want to see who you are in here. And what's the worst thing that can come out of it? We just stay friends. And I got another good friend. Well, he wasn't interested in having another good friend. So it lasted about 6 or 7 weeks. And I said, it's okay. But I was so thankful to God that I did it His way. And I had the courage that my emotions and my desire for the opposite sex in my life didn't outweigh what God's desire was. The letter D is, I believe our obsession with hooking up, being in a relationship to the point of not waiting on God, has a lot to do with where our relationship is with God. We need to become the right person in God's way before we meet the right person. You've heard this. Chip's talking about it. It's not uncommon. People say, well, what is the right way, Chris? How do I become the right person? Well, I know. Do I have to be perfect? No. But you know, you've got debt up to your eyeballs. You really, really would want to put that on somebody else? I don't want your debt. You know, I ain't talking about, you know, you got $1,000 on your credit card. I'm talking about someone you got $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. Why would you want to, you know, we should want to be in a relationship that edifies the other person. How is it edifying them? You got debt up the wazoo. How is it edifying somebody? You can't let go of the past. You keep bringing every ex into every conversation. Are you worried about because what they did to you, they're going to do it to you. It's going to happen again with this person. Ooh, I want to be that person. Please remind me of how horrible your ex-wife was so I can really be like her. You know? You can't let that go. See, that's what I'm talking about. You may be in church and studying the Word and reading the Bible and all that stuff, but in a relationship, you change. You're not that person. And so sometimes our friends can help us see, you know, gosh, you do talk a lot about your ex. You know, or, you know, I mean, you don't really like yourself. I noticed that on the outside, you're really uncomfortable with your body. And, you know, I mean, I'll tell you guys, I mean, I'm actually, last year I got vertigo. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of vertigo. Real severe illness. The room spins. And it was amazing because God, you know, I've been a large person for a long time and I got kind of used to it and I just make it work. You know, I think I got a really good self-esteem being a big person. You don't like me tough. You know, this is it. But health concerns started happening. And I got vertigo and had for the third time put me in the hospital. And the doctor said, well, we found with vertigo that if you eat healthy, that's good. If you exercise, that's good. Reduce the stress. Okay, reduce the stress. Get 8 hours of sleep a night. Okay. And get rid of caffeine. I'm like, isn't that the formula for life? And God goes, yeah. So God had a way of getting my attention. And so I've lost some weight with Weight Watchers and I'm doing really good. But you know what? I'm not in a race to be 120 pounds. I'm in a race to be healthy. You know, because I do like myself. And I think it comes out in who I am about myself. I do like myself, but if I want to be healthy for God. But some of you don't like yourselves. And you bring that into a relationship. You know, you're so embarrassed about your big belly or your big butt or something, you know, and you keep talking about it. And that reflects and it affects the relationship. It's called low self-esteem. You don't want to bring that into the relationship. Some of you are terrible communicators. Some of you are not very good with commitment. So all of these are factors that you're not meant to be aware of. You may be strong in your walk with the Lord, but you're not aware of how you come across. Some of you need to be more feminine. Some of you are way too feminine. Some of you need to be more macho, more masculine. Some of you are a little bit too much of yourself. So we need to find a balance. He grinning back there. Are you too macho? You know, whatever. Kind of like Hitch. You know, if we need some help, you know, some of us ladies might need to find a makeup brush. You know? Now, you may say, well, I want to like him the way I am. That's fine. But I'll tell you what. Just little things we do can change how we feel about ourselves. My confidence just in losing 30 pounds, guys, is just drinking. I mean, I am so much more confident because I feel better in my clothes. And I'm wearing stuff I ain't worn in a long time. And it does affect how you feel. So who knows what little things that we do. Get a little pump up some iron, guys. Get a little muscle. Be feeling confident, you know. Or whatever. Wherever the Lord has you. But that's the bottom line. It's like, Lord, help me become the right person. Number two, having the right motives with God's timing. Most single adults are led by God to be married. Most. I'll do a poll of 30 of people really being honest. And you'll get maybe one person that says, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, don't want to do it again. But everybody wants to be married because that's the way God made us to desire that. So then, Lord, okay, if it's not happening now, what do I do in the meantime? One of my pet peeves, and I shared this with Emily, that I really hate is preachers who say, God's got a plan for you. Like he does. What's that plan? Is it to get married? Is it to have a job or the house? All the stuff. We are in his plan. It's not coming. We are in it. We were in it before we were born. We were in it when we were lost. We were in it when we were dating all the wrong people. We were in it when we were in our marriages that didn't work out right. We're in it now. But God does want us to be prosper. And again, defining prosperity. To me, that's a fullness of Christ. It's not money. It's being so full all day long that all you can do is pour out. There's a difference. Are you growing to be more like Christ? As you're growing to be more like Christ, you do need to get out and meet the opposite sex. This is my favorite of the other Philippian. Well, I'm just going to stay at home. I'm going to stay at home and the Lord's going to bring me my man. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to go out and do nothing because, you know, I ain't going to chase no man. I'm going to sit back. I'm going, you waiting for the FedEx man? Because that's the only man coming to your door. You know what I'm saying? Okay. UPS. You got to get out, guys. Duh. You know what I'm saying? You need to meet as many single adults as you can. You need to go to conferences and singles gatherings and mission trips and go to the beach and hang out with a variety of people for the purpose of God. Meet as many people as you can, as fast as you can, and get to know them and get to know their heart. And guess what? As you build friendships, one of them may turn out to be the one. But if not, you've built a lot of friendships. But if you go out with the exact purpose to meet somebody for the purpose of marriage, then you might be disappointed. This conference is 60-40 women, or 70-30 women to men. Some men are like, I know the right conferences to go to. And some of the women are like, oh, well, that's your motive. What's your motive? Now, do I say yes, you need to meet people, and you know, and odds are a little bit less here, but all you need is one of them to marry you. So to me, builds me friendships, and because God may have in mind for you where you had no idea what was in mind. I used to be kind of particular about the outside until God showed me when I fell in love with the outside didn't matter. And all of a sudden the little bald heads got cute. And all of a sudden the little pooches kind of got cute too, you know? Got a little extra love right there, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, I didn't care what they did for a living, as long as they loved the Lord. Because if they loved the Lord, their job was the tool that God had given them to reach people for Christ. So whether it was digging ditches or they were a doctor or a lawyer, it didn't matter, because their heart was in the right place. Everything changes. Number two is when you do meet people of the opposite sex, assume they aren't the one first. This way the goal is to build a relationship. So every person that you meet, I think of Elmer. I love Elmer. If I had looked at Elmer only as a potential husband, I may have never gotten to know him as my friend. Because he's crazy. He's a nut. And he's just not my type. But as I've gotten to know him, I'm going, man, what an awesome man of the Lord. What an awesome man. And I hope that God will lead him to a woman that feels the same way for him in that way. But I love him as my friend. And I would have lost out on that if he had not fit into my formula. Instead, I looked to him as building a friendship. Number three, we need to be equally yoked. Not only in what we believe, but also in our goals and our direction. A lot of you say, okay, Chris, I'm dating a guy. He believes in God. That's good, right? Uh-huh. Tell me a little more about how he believes. Well, he's Pentecostal and I'm Lutheran. Well, that's going to be a problem. I mean, it will be. I'm sorry. That's a big denominational difference. Not like kind of close. But that's big, and at some point in time, you're going to have some things you're going to have to discuss. So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're equally yoked. Well, what about, you know, career and direction and vision of where God has you? Oh, I want children, and he doesn't. Going to be a problem. You think you're going to change his mind? Or is he going to change your mind? If you've always had a heart and a passion to have your own children, he's like, there ain't no way in God's green earth. You're not equally yoked. What about the direction? I want to be a missionary. I want to stay home. You're not equally yoked. So again, being equally yoked is not just about what you believe spiritually, but it's about your whole life and the direction. Don't believe you're going to convert somebody to believe in your dreams, what God is leading you to do. Right now, my calling is to go out and teach the Word of God. My calling is to travel and speak and train. But for me, if I get married, my calling then needs to be my husband. So I don't know if I can do both unless I meet me a guy who likes to travel and speak on the road. But could God bring that to me? Sure. But I'm going to tell you what, if God brought me a husband and said, Chris, I want you to stop doing this, I would, because I can't do both. It's too hard. So I would choose one or the other, but I would know. Because I wouldn't expect a man to be married to me and never see me. That's just not fair to him. What would be the point? Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only upon your own interest, but in the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If you look on every person that you meet as for the purpose to edify them in Christ, every person you meet, do you see how that's going to change all your relationships? And like, I love it. I sat at a table today. I don't know if Howard was at the table, but there was a bunch of gentlemen at my table. I don't know if any of them here was at it. And I had the best time. It's like six guys, five guys. And we just talked about all different types of things. And I didn't sit at the table going, okay, which one of these? You know, I saw you winking back there again, Howard. I'll see you. You know, he's like. But instead, I was just like, I want to get to know these guys. I don't know who they're going to be in my life. Who knows what God may have them in my life? They may be a pastor who wants to bring me to the church. They may be somebody that needs some help, and they're struggling. They need some help. They need a guy to mentor them. They may be a person that will connect me to somebody else that needs to talk about something. Or I don't know who they're going to be. They may become a good buddy, someone that encourages me, someone to be on my prayer team. I don't know. But if I shut that door, I've missed out on all that. Please stop coming to things with the goal of finding a husband, but come with the goal of reaching people for Christ first, and everything else will happen as a result of it because you've been obedient to Him, and He will bless you. You'll either be blessed with a spouse, or blessed with a good friend, or blessed with a peace that you don't give a flip about either thing. Yeah, whatever, whatever. And then when those little old ladies come up and go, don't worry, Chris, God's going to bring you somebody you can knock her out. My mom used to try to set me up all the time, and she tried to find me a husband because she felt bad for me. She's like, you know, if I had raised you to be more domesticated, you might be married by now and have your own children. And now that I'm able to help them out and help her take care of my dad, she's like, I'm so thankful that you're single. She says, because all of my other children are not able to do this. I said, I know. Thank you, Lord, that my singleness is a blessing. That because I'm single, I'm able to help my take care of my dad, who's dying. What a blessing that is. And I know that my other siblings can't do it because of their responsibilities. Is it always blessing? Yeah. Not always. Especially when you get the kiddie table every Thanksgiving. Gosh, you're so good with children. Yeah, but you know, my knees are up above the table now. Can I at least sit at the big table? Letter B, don't be in a hurry. We're in a hurry in all ways of connecting, not just online, but we're in a hurry. We miss hearing from God and knowing His direction for our lives and the peace that comes. We're in a hurry. We can't sense God's direction. We're in a hurry. We can't hear. We're in a hurry. We just kind of jump. There was a gentleman named Samuel. Have any of y'all met Samuel yet? He's wonderful. He's a chaplain, a Navy chaplain. You'll see him running around. We got into this subject. He says, Chris, do you believe there's just one person out there for me? Just one person. I said, well, if God knows the future, then yes, God has. If you're supposed to be married, then God has one person for you. But I think you can be compatible with lots of people. And I think God's perfect will, there's probably one person. But in God's permissive will, He allows us to probably date and marry a lot of other people. And then we have to make it work out. And he says, well, I'm so in tune with God right now. God really is showing me specific direction. And I'm hearing from Him. I said, there you go. You're in tune with God. When you listen, He will give you the direction to lead you to whatever you want to be led to. Whatever your calling is. But when we don't listen, we end up picking the wrong people. So there's the difference, is listening. When we're in a hurry, we miss opportunities to make changes in our lives. So maybe we do need to work on our attitude. Maybe we do need to work on the way we look. You know, maybe I need to get a little few extra pounds. Maybe I need to get my debt off. Maybe I need to be in church more often. Maybe I need to be in a Bible study and learn the Word better. Maybe I need to do these things. Okay, great. We're in a hurry. We don't get opportunities to make those changes. We don't get opportunities to look at ourselves. Because we're in such a hurry. I'm that person. Clock. Right? Because we got to have our own babies, right? Heaven forbid we could love another person's baby. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. It's one of my favorite verses. Can you just imagine? God, strip everything off of me that is not of you. Everything that entangles me. All the lies that the enemy tells me that I'll never be this, I'll never be that. All the lies from my family who pull me down. The lies of my exes. All the debt and the issues and the problems and the stress. It all weighs me down. Lord, please, please take it from me. And please remind me that the race, as I race towards the goals you've given me, that my eyes stay on you. Remember Peter in the boat? Took his eyes off Jesus and he fell in the water. I tell people, are you Peter? Or are you the guys in the boat going, hey, you're right behind you, putting on snorkel gear? You know? At least you got out of the boat. It is a journey, guys. It's not going to be instantaneously. But I'm going to tell you what, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, you get better and better and better, and then you're able to say, you know what, I really like you a lot, but I really want to get to know you. And if you like me and you think there's something there, don't you want to do that first? And if they leave, thank you, Jesus, you answered it quick. But maybe they won't. Maybe they're like, you know what, I see something in you too, and it's worth waiting for. And I want to get to know you too. When we're in a hurry, we miss opportunities for friendships that don't lead to marriage. When we're in a hurry, we miss building relationships that have a foundation built on a solid ground of Jesus Christ. So when the storms come, and you know they will, the relationship can handle it. All relationships worth having take time. Luke 6:48, He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. Foundation. So what are our relationships built on? Some of you have had best friends for years and years because you have a good foundation. So you can have a little fight, a little disagreement, a little miscommunication, and it doesn't hurt the relationship. You know, you're still friends because you have a foundation. Don't you want your marriages to be that way? Then why are we such a hurt? We're online dating. We're like, yeah, I'm just building friendships. And they're like, oh, Chris, I met this guy. And I met him last week, and we've talked like every day on email, and then we've talked on the phone now for a week, and I'm meeting him next week. Like, oh, gosh, okay. Where did you meet him? Oh, he lives in Denver. I'm flying out there. Oh, gosh. You've known him a week and a half? Yeah, but we had some good theological conversations. Okay. That scares me. There's no foundation there. There's not enough time to build a foundation in a week and a half of knowing somebody. Well, years ago, y'all know who Oral Roberts is, right? Oral Roberts, well, he's old as dirt. I don't know if his wife's still living. She was being interviewed about singles ministry. She said, well, I met Oral, and about 6 weeks later, we were married. We've been married, you know, like for 100 years now. She said, I have one bit of advice. Don't do it. Don't do it my way, because those first few years were very tough. And if it wasn't for the way she was raised, she said, I don't know if I could have stayed in it. Because she's convicted of her walk with God. She had made that commitment. She says, I didn't know him from a hole in the wall. She said, it was tough. She said, so my recommendation is take the time you need. If it's the right one, he'll still be there. But hey, he won't. And amen, right? Y'all so worried, well, he might leave. Well, then good, he ain't the one. Duh. So if you say, Chris, I seek God. I'm in my Bible study. I'm praying. I've done every single book there is on the Word. I've done it all. I've led Bible studies. I'm in church. I'm good. They think I'm a part of the church, you know. One little chick said she's worked at the Cove so long she was born downstairs. You know? I mean, if you're here, you've done all that. You're like, Chris, I am a good person. I'm not online dating to date. I am building friendships. I don't go to the minute speed dating, you know. But I've been going to Christian functions. I'm really doing it the right way. Okay. Here's some guidelines. Just to kind of help you, okay? If you're going to do it, despite my opinion, here we go. Number one, do your homework on the dating sites. A lot of Christian sites say they are, but they're trying to connect Christian singles, but they're just trying to make money. eHarmony used to be a Christian site, and now they'll marry anybody to anybody. They don't care. I've had people test it out for me, and you can put in there that you don't even love God, and they'll match you up with somebody else who doesn't love God. And it's sad because money has outwin. It's all about money with them now. It's not about really reaching people for Christ. There's not anything about Christ on their website. Not even the bio of the founder. Nothing. Nothing about the Lord. And it just breaks my heart. And, you know, can people find the Lord maybe by going on your heart? No. That's what they used to be about. It used to be, come on here, fill out the thing. Oh, by the way, we love the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, here's the statement of salvation. That's not there anymore. Be careful. Just because this is Christian does not mean that the people who own it are really following God. Okay? Are they praying for you? Are they praying for the people that have memberships on their site? Are they really helping you and guiding you and giving you some direction? I don't know. Is there some kind of identification verification? Marital status? Background check? In Illinois, they passed a law, supposedly, that you can get this information online about it. You have to, as far as their background, if they're a pedophile, if they've been married 5 times and only told you 2, or how old they are, or anything that you want to verify. I think it's really healthy, especially if you're talking about somebody they're living in another state. I think you need to check up on them. I believe you need to go slow, build trust, a foundation. If it's going to be the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and you will not regret taking the time to get to know them. Obviously, don't give last names, personal information. Ask for a recent photo, within this decade preferably. And realize 500,000 predators are online every day, looking and looking to hurt you. Not to help you. Not to date you and marry you and have the fairy tale. To hurt you. Talk by phone, again, slow. Meet in a public place, not late at night or in bad weather. A place where people know you. Okay? And that brings us back to, which I'll say here a little bit farther down, online date people in your city. If you can at all help it. Because then you can go to a safe place. Then you can find out about them. Then you can go to their church. But when you date somebody in another city, how are you going to have a relationship dating 3 states away? How can you really, really know them and see their walk with God? Well, Chris, I live in a city of 2 million, but there's just no single guys here. You know, I've been to all the Christian functions. They're just not there. Well, not every single likes to go to singles functions. You know, so they may not be there. Maybe they kind of outgrew that, and they're just walking in the Lord without being labeled single. But they still desire to meet someone. So they might be in the park. They might be some other location other than that. So maybe you need to look at it that way, you know, instead of like, well, there's none here, so I'm going to go to this city or that city to find mine. Bring a friend along, or plan something shortly after with a friend coming to join you. Take your cell, have cash for a cab. I mentioned something about the bad weather. Bad weather makes us do stupid things. We you know, tuck in under here. We go eat here instead. We share cabs. We do all kinds of things that can put us at risk. Make sure someone knows where you are and who you're meeting. Have a plan to call them during the date, just with a code word. Code word is, this guy's creepy. I don't want to be here. Could you please come and rescue me? It's getting a little weird. He's saying weird things. He's asking me questions that are not appropriate. Connect with those that are local whenever possible. I just said that, make it easier to visit the church, come along on group dates. And if not, never, never, never tell them where you're staying, and never go home with them. Stay at a hotel. And the final thought, if the thought of telling someone how you met the love of your life bothers you, then perhaps God is telling you the way you're connecting is not right for you. Let go, ultimately, and let God. You got to give it to God. You got to stop taking it in your own hands. So if you want to meet someone online, just be smart. Just be smart. And stop fooling yourself into believing that you're not in a hurry, because you are. Take your time. And if they're in a hurry, then they're not the right person for you. A couple last things. I want to show a final clip. If you have evaluation forms, you bring them up here and we put them in this nice little envelope. Not right this second. You can do it at the end. And one other thing of housekeeping, and I thank you for coming and hearing, and I hope you learned some new things, and maybe you already knew everything. I don't know. Maybe you know, but you're here. So obviously there's a desire in your heart to connect and meet other singles. If you just practice a little bit more patience and practice a little more thinking about it and having be a little smarter about it. And guys, I love to just tell my friends what's on my heart. I love to tell my friends, hey, I am looking for someone. Would you help me? Pray for me? You know, I pray for my single friends to meet the love of their lives. I pray for my single friends who want to be married and have children. That's called edification. We need to edify each other towards Christ, not pull people from Christ. Be careful what you're watching, guys. Grey's Anatomy, please. Don't call yourself a Christian and watch that crap. Don't call yourself a Christian and watch some of the stuff on television. I'm just telling you, if you can use it as a tool for Christ, great. But some of you ain't using it for no tool. You know, you're watching some of this junk on TV and think it's great, and it's not. It goes in your soul. It's just not good. And so, always have the rule of Jesus was sitting beside you. Would you watch it? That kind of thing. That might help you. But it also affects your single life. I'm not a big book plugger because I'm just never going to get rich off of a book. But I wrote a Bible study, and it's on singles and relationships. I wrote with Dick Purnell. Y'all know Dick Purnell. He's been around forever. And I'm very thankful that he asked me to write this with him. But it's just a Bible study. It's not a book. But it's 31 straight days, or you can do it as a small group. And it's about friendship, sibling, work relationships, finding peace, dealing with conflict, dealing with difficult people. Because what I'm finding with single adults is that I don't think I need to give you another book on dating. I don't think I need to give you another book on finding the right one. But so many of you don't even know how to be friends with people. So many of you don't know how to deal with conflict. So many of you don't even get along with your family. And how are you going to get along with the love of your life if you can't even get along with people around you? So I felt it was more important to write about day to day, like have reconciliation. Last year I spoke on reconciliation. Because so many people have so many relationships they haven't reconciled with, yet they want to start a new one. So to me, in order for us to find the right one, becoming the right one has a lot to do with our relationships that are already in our life. And that's what I wrote it on. And they're in the bookstore if you want one. But it's just, this to me is a tool. It's not a book about me. It's a tool. It's going to help you go to the next level. And what's really cool, it's great to have lost people because it's easy for them. It's easy, basic, and it'll help you reach them for Christ. Because that's what we're here for, right? We have a relationship with Jesus to glorify Him, and then that relationship goes out to everybody else to reach them for Christ. That's it. And if God gives you marriage or God gives you a job here or there, it's all for the tool that God gives you in order to reach people for Christ. Amen? All right, final clip. Da-da-da. Let's see. I should have been setting this up. Hold on. Oh gosh, I think it was in the first one. Well, maybe. it's the dancing. Yeah, I heard somebody, it's the dancing one. I know what she's going to show, the dancing one. There we go. Okay, but you know, it's got that little, first of all, I do not endorse this movie. This is a secular movie, and there is a little scene right before the dancing scene about, hey, ask me if he was gay, and I just want you to know, I'm just not promoting that, but it's a lot easier just to show it than it is to try to fast forward through that little section. Okay, now how do I do this? There we go.
Where does your inspiration come from?
Oh,